It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet, at the present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again, he says, "Here am I and the children God has given me." Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and the high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold to our courage and the hope of which we boast. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So last week we started our series on the book of Hebrews, which we've called We Would See Jesus. We'll talked about how this book comes back again and again to looking at Jesus, who Jesus is, what Jesus has done for us, and how we can know Jesus and what difference Jesus makes to our everyday lives. In fact, some of you might remember that Will put a sticker on the lectern that I can see right here in front of me now. And this sticker says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." And that was to remind us, as we're preaching over these next few weeks, that as we look at this book together, we want to see more of Jesus through what the Bible says and in our own lives. A really useful reminder. Apparently, a as some of our small groups were meeting this week, one of the questions they were discussing was, what sticker would you put on the lectern as a really important thing to remember as we do our preaching here at St. Nick's? A member of one small group, who shall remain nameless, told me that his small group had decided on, make sure that the sermon definitely isn't any longer than 20 minutes. Also a useful reminder. So I can tell you that this morning, I'm going to try to make sure that we see more of Jesus and also that the sermon isn't any longer than 20 minutes. It was a long reading this morning, wasn't it, from Hebrews? And like many passages in the book of Hebrews, not easy to understand, but full of amazing, life-changing truths. A little bit of background to the book of Hebrews. There are a few things we don't know about this book. We don't know who wrote it. It's a letter, but we don't know who wrote the letter because the author doesn't tell us. There have been various suggestions about who it might have been. It was definitely somebody with authority in the early church, but nobody knows for sure. We also don't know exactly who it was written to. For some of the other letters of Paul, he's writing, we know he's writing to the Christians in Galatia, or he's writing to various different churches in different areas of the land, but Hebrews was written to some early first century Jewish Christians, but we don't know exactly who. But what we do know is that times were hard in those days for Jews who had become Christians. Many were being persecuted. Some had been physically assaulted. Their homes had been plundered. Some cast into prison and others ridiculed in public. It was not easy to be a Christian. This letter encourages the believers in such a difficult situation to keep their faith anchored in the truth, to keep their confidence in Christ and to press on. The author encourages them to do this by turning their eyes not to themselves and their situation, but by turning their eyes to Jesus. The writer reminds them who Jesus is, not just a man, not an angel, but the Son of God, and what Jesus has done in giving us so great a salvation, as it says in chapter 2. Or as the Message version of the Bible puts it, this magnificent salvation. Some of us may know already, some of us may have a vague idea, and some of us may be asking, what does salvation mean anyway? It's not a word that we use very much in our everyday lives, is it? The dictionary definition of salvation is the salvation of someone or something is the act of saving them from harm, destruction, evil, or an unpleasant situation. So what does our passage today tell us about what we've been saved or rescued from and about Jesus, who is the one who is doing the saving? We're going to focus on one of the images in this passage of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. So the image I want to focus on today is that of Jesus as a pioneer. Verse 10 tells us that Jesus is the pioneer of our salvation. What is a pioneer? Someone who leads the way, opens up a path to new things. A pioneer forges a path that others can follow on. You might think of pioneers who were the first to enter and settle a territory so that other people could follow along and come and live there too. Here is a picture of someone who was a pioneer. Does anyone know who this is? Apart from Rosemary and Leslie, who asked the people at the back and found out earlier in the service. Leslie, who is this? Do you know? That's right. It's Vasco da Gama. Have you heard from him? History lessons at school? Does it all come flooding back again? Vasco da Gama was a pioneer. He was a Portuguese explorer in the 15th century. At that time, the southern tip of Africa was called the Cape of Storms. Throughout the 1400s, dozens of attempts to sail around the Cape had been dashed on the dangerous rocks. Thousands of lives had been lost, all of them trying to reach the promised land of India by sea. People were eager to be able to trade in spices from the Orient, so many expeditions were launched, but all had been swallowed up by the storms. The Cape seemed an impossible barrier that no one could cross. In July 1497, Vasco da Gama led a fleet of four ships from Lisbon, Portugal. By Christmas, he had sailed through the storms and out the other side. He pioneered the trade route to India and came back with spices to make himself and his whole kingdom rich. From Portugal and India to India and back again was, up until that time, the longest sea voyage ever attempted without sight of land. The journey was thought to be impossible, yet it was accomplished. Da Gama renamed the peninsula that had formerly thwarted all those explorers, and he called it instead the Cape of Good Hope. Jesus is the pioneer of our salvation. He brings us to glory by entering into the storms of judgment that would otherwise swallow us whole. He suffered death, Hebrews says, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone, or experience death in every person's place. The writer of Hebrews refers to Psalm 8 to show the problem we face, why we need a pioneer. God's original purpose was for us to each know God and to live in relationship with him, to be a part of his family. We were created to share in his work of caring for and having authority over the world he'd created. Yet, as the writer of Hebrews says, we do not see this. At the present, we do not see this. We don't have to look very hard at the world around us to see that people's rebellion against God and desire to do life their own way without God in the picture has left us damaged and broken. Not as God created us to be. Sin entered the world. Death entered the world. No matter how hard we tried, we couldn't deal with these things ourselves. Jesus, as our pioneer, has opened up a way, this only route to restore our relationship with God so that we can share in his glory now and for eternity. He knows every step of the road from first-hand experience. He was God and with God, but he humbled himself to become human, lower than the angels. He shared in our humanity. He was made like us, fully human in every way, so that our sins might be forgiven. He suffered death so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. This is magnificent salvation. Jesus was made like us, fully human in every way, but he never did anything wrong. He never sinned. He lived his life walking closely with God. He showed us what it looked like to live as we were created to in the first place. But wait a minute, you may say, those of you who are listening carefully to the reading. Verse 10 says that God made the pioneer of our salvation perfect through what he suffered. Does that mean he wasn't perfect already? No, there was nothing wrong or sinful about Jesus. In this context, the word perfect means complete, qualified, fit for purpose. To pioneer this way for us, Jesus needed to be fully human, to experience what humans experience, including suffering and death. When we find ourselves going through painful or difficult times, the overwhelming times, the trying and testing times, we can remember that our pioneer, who has been along this path already, knows exactly how we feel. As we see in verse 17 and 18, he is merciful and faithful because he himself suffered when he was tempted or tested. He is able to help those who are being tempted. In this chapter, we're reminded that Jesus, though, didn't merely experience death, he conquered it. He is now crowned with glory and honor. As our pioneer, he has gone through this in advance of us. His feet have moved through the dark valley, the lonely territory of death, and he has triumphed over its power for us. Our pioneer has gone before us, and those who know him have nothing to fear about the future. As our pioneer, Jesus has battled on our behalf. He set us free from the power of sin and the fear of death. This magnificent salvation brings a clear message of forgiveness and hope to each one of us who might be weighed down by guilt and shame. The baptism today of Rosie reminds us of all that Jesus has done for us. The water, we've been washed and cleansed and forgiven. We have a new birth to life in Christ, which is eternal life. Jesus has opened up a way for us to become a part of God's family. As we see in the book of Romans, baptism is an image of how, through what Jesus has done for us, we die to our sins in Christ and we are raised to new life. Our pioneer, though, he doesn't just forge ahead and leave us to follow behind on our own. When we choose to be a follower of Jesus, ask for his forgiveness and ask him to be a part of our lives, then he gives us his Holy Spirit to strengthen us and encourage us and to walk alongside us. We receive our salvation from him and he calls us to continue to walk in his way. And so, as we finish, we come back to the question of seeing Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 1 tells us, "Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess." Or as the Message translates this verse, "So, my dear Christian friends, companions in following this call to the heights, take a good, hard look at Jesus. He's the centerpiece of everything we believe, faithful to everything God gave him to do." So, if you don't know Jesus here this morning, I can tell you that it's worth taking a good, hard look at Jesus to find out more about who he is and this magnificent salvation which he offers to each one of us. If you do know Jesus and you, like the Hebrews, are going through a hard time at the moment, then fix your thoughts on or take a good hard look at Jesus. As we remember all that he has done for us and who we are in him, we recognize again that he is faithful and he is the pioneer who transforms the Cape of Storms to be the Cape of Good Hope in our lives. Amen.